If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello and welcome to Dear Lovejoy, episode 2. Cue the jingle.
This is just a guide to modern life. Modern life is hard to get just right. It can frustrate you and annoy. And if it does, write into Dear Lovejoy.
Yes, indeed, modern life can get you down. It's a mixture of small problems and large problems, but they're all relative, aren't they? We here on Dear Lovejoy, the podcast, will help you. We will guide you through those problems and help you by giving you advice on life. Though at this point, I must point out that I have no qualifications. I'm not a therapist. I have no medical qualifications. I have no qualifications in finance. I literally have no qualifications in anything. I'm a TV presenter. But if you want to take advice off a TV presenter, this is the right place to be. Dear Lovejoy, the podcast. This is episode 2, but we have to come clean at this point. This is the third attempt at Dear Lovejoy, the podcast, episode 2. It's the difficult second podcast, isn't it, Mark?
It is. It's much like the band's difficult second album.
I'll tell you why we've struggled with it. The first time we did it, it sounded so bad that we said we can't put that out. The first one sounds bad, but I mean, I'm talking audio, not just content.
Oh, yeah, it was just rubbish.
It was so bad that we thought, right, let's go and buy some mics. So we went and bought some mics, then we set up. We've got a really good setup now. We've got pop shields, we've got mic stands, we've got good mics, we've got headphones. We look the business. But then on the second one, which was the second version of the second podcast, we did the whole thing. It was possibly one of the greatest podcasts of all time. I mean, it would have been legendary. It'd be one of those ones that in years to come they'd make documentaries about. But Mark forgot to press the record button.
Do you know he didn't forget to press
yes,
record?
You did.
No, he didn't.
Yes, you did.
I'll play you. I'm going to put a sample of what happened. The file corrupted, and here's what happened to it.
The file corrupted. In other words, I forgot to press the record button.
No, I didn't. Look, I've come round to Tim's to re-record today, and I found him in just about the worst mood I've ever found him. He's got a cold, and so TV Tim's cold is now putting him in a really bad mood.
Anyway, what do we think of the first podcast? That was the one where you actually pressed the record button. What did you think about that one? It was all right, wasn't it?
I wish I hadn't bothered recording you.
It was all right. I gave it 4 out of 7.
I was really good.
You were great. I was rubbish. Now I gave it 4 out of 7. Not best, but over half, over 50%. I thought it was all right.
Yeah.
It wasn't great though. We're going to work on it. And we're going to get it better and better. We basically just need more input of you, I think. Andrea Brown, by the way, tweeted to say, "I enjoyed the first podcast. Best bit was hearing you've had your kitchen done up after years of talking about it with Simon." Yes, we are doing this from the kitchen,
as you can hear.
Yeah, so it sounds a bit echoey, but that you just have to get used to this until I actually buy myself a home studio, which I think will take a few years. We'll have to get a bit better before we get to that stage. So what's coming up on today's podcast is a mixture of things. Basically, we've got problems like, for instance, dentistry, or being scared of going to the dentist, I think. We've got our pearls of wisdom. I'll be taking on an agony aunt again. I took on one last week and I won it. I swear I won that. I really did win it. And we'll also be discussing Mark's phobia of mice.
Much to Tim's enjoyment, it seems. I've seen him preparing for it. I won't tell you what he's doing because I can't look at it. But he's enjoying himself so much.
And it's the best phobia ever because it's got a really great name to it.
Musophobia.
Musophobia, which is, you know, if you're going to get a phobia, you might as well have musophobia because it sounds good. Mark was saying to me on a previous podcast, which we did, which he forgot to press the record button. He said it sounds...
He really didn't, though.
He said it sounds like a musical instrument, and I agree with him. Let's get on with it, shall we? Let's get stuck in. Let's do the first problem.
Dear Lovejoy.
Okay, so these problems are problems which have come to me via Twitter at the moment. Actually, we would like you to join in with the podcast. You got anything to say, or if you have any problems, we have got an email address. Let's do it now so people know what it is. Cue the jingle.
If what you want to ask is just too long for Twitter, don't stress. We've got an easy to remember email address. This is the reason for this overly long song. It's dearlovejoypodcast@gmail.com.
Now that is a jingle.
That is a jingle. By the way, if you want to know who writes that, Mark basically is brilliant. He went away one day. We got really enthusiastic about doing podcasts because we both love podcasts. So Mark went away one day and he said, I've sent you something. Open your email up. So open up my email. And on it, he'd done the signature tune. Is that what you call it?
Yeah, intro music.
Intro
yeah.
music. And it was brilliant. And then a few days later, I went, hey, I've done an email one as well. So these are all Mark's original materials. And we like it because it kind of sounds, well, for me, I think it sort of sums up Brushstrokes, that era. And that's what I quite like it. It's sort of that sitcom from probably the 80s. And so it's great. So that's the intro music. So far, we've just been asking for problems from Twitter, but as I say, if you want to send them in via email. This is one from Claire Smith. I have the dentist today, root canal. Any tips on keeping calm? Now, let me tell you my reply on Twitter first, then we'll get stuck in. I said to her, slow your breath and trust your dentist. There's no reason why you should have any pain. Cross that bridge if you come to it. And that sums it up, basically, because what the real problem here is, Mark, is anxiety. Okay, that is your number one problem with the dentist. Anxiety, Mark, is a bitch. I think that might be a famous Buddhist proverb.
I don't think it is.
Anxiety ruins lives, Mark.
Tell me about it.
That's a huge problem. If you can overcome anxiety, which is impossible to do, I think Buddhists can do it.
You have this thing about thinking about the past, thinking about the future. What
if you
is it?
Think about the past, you get depressed. If you think about the future, you get anxious. So that's why. I think that's a famous Buddhist proverb as well I've stolen. But it's something like that. And so what you're supposed to do is live in the present. But what happens is things get in your mind and you start thinking about it. So let's say, for instance, you're going to the dentist, you start thinking about the pain. Now, generally, there's never going to be any pain because you've got an anaesthetic, yeah? So there won't be any pain. These days, there's no pain, I don't think, is there? They just get on with the job. If it's a good dentist, competent dentist, you know him, you like him, he'll just get on, do a good job. For a few hours after, you'll be a bit sore. The next day, you'll be sore because they've had all those instruments in your gums. But yeah, nothing too hard. You get on an aeroplane. The first thing they do is tell you you're going to crash. So what you do, you get on an aeroplane, and the first thing you do, you sit down, you think, oh, excellent, I'm going on holiday, or I'm going abroad somewhere. You get excited. But then you have to go through the ordeal of thinking about crashing. Then you have to start analysing your life, because you think, if you crash, generally you're going to die, right? So you think, if I crash, I'm going to die. So then you have to work out whether you've had a good life or not. That's kind of what happens when you're playing. So that's a short anxiety thing. I'm about to have an operation soon, and it's in the future. And so you get anxious. And as you're just going through your day, you know, you're washing up or you're doing something like that. Not that I wash up because I'm on telly. But, you know, if you're doing something like that, it just...
There's evidence of him not washing up in this kitchen.
I have a dishwasher. No, so I
What's
do,
her name?
I actually do wash up. I'm always washing up. No, but you get this anxiety and it just comes in all the time. And it ruins your life, whatever it is. The other day I had the NTA Awards. I was talking to you about this on the podcast that you didn't press the record button on.
Wow. I'm going to sound a little bell every time you mention it.
And for a week beforehand, I was thinking, if they said we're going to the NTAs, and I was quite happy we'd been nominated, then it's you suddenly get the anxiety, you're anxious, because if you win, you've got to stand up in front of all your peers and do a speech. You're not judged on your TV show that night. You're judged on your speech, whether you're going to be funny or not. And so, as I told you on the podcast that you forgot to press record on, I did an agreement with Simon that I would go up, get the trophy and lift it aloft like I'd won the World Cup or something, and then let him do the speech because I felt more comfortable.
Did you win?
No, but that's besides the point. Who did you
get beaten by, Tim?
This morning. We always get beaten by this morning. Do you want to know why?
Because they're better, maybe.
Exactly right, Mark. That's exactly right. And that was going to be my answer. Because everyone comes up with clever reasons why you lose. It's not, they're better than us. Phil and Holly, they're great, aren't they? They also...
Much easier on the eye as well, Phil Schofield.
Yeah. Exactly. So what you got is you've got a problem with anxiety. Now, what you have to do is you've got to stay in the moment. You've got to stay in the present. So every time the dentist comes into your mind, the thought of him drilling, he's going to be drilling all the way down that little channel, all the way down through your nerves. I mean, it's going to be, it's horrific what they're really doing. But it's not horrific because you've got anaesthetic, so you're fine. So just don't get anxious.
Also, they do help you by saying that when they're booking you in for code, well, you need routine canal surgery.
And it is routine these days.
Routine, it does mean they've done this loads of times. I've had it done so many times.
No one dies, do they? No one ever dies of root canal surgery.
The only things that die from dentists is Cecil the Lion.
Oh, yeah, that's terrible, wasn't it? Yeah, I think it's absolutely fine. And the big thing is dealing with the anxiety, dealing with the anticipation of what's going to happen. And that's it. As the famous Buddhist monks say, anticipation is a bitch.
Love, joy.
Okay, on last week's podcast, I took on an agony aunt. The idea of this is I'm going to read a problem from an agony aunt. I'm going to answer it first, then Mark's going to tell me what the agony aunt says. I haven't read this one, so I don't know what the agony aunt says yet. So I answer it first, then we see what the agony aunt, see how close I am. Last week I went up against Colleen Nolan, didn't I?
She beat you.
No, she didn't.
She did.
I listened back to the first podcast. I definitely won that. So today I'm going up against someone called Abby. Who is Abby, Mark?
She's called Abby. She's online. I don't really know her credentials, but she's got some great question and answer things on her website. Check her out.
So it's online. So it's all true, is it? All these ones, they're all real.
Of course,
they're all real. Yeah, I imagine. So listen, I'm going to be reading this one out. It's the first time I've read it. Then I'm going to answer it. Then we'll see what Abby says. So let's go. Dear Abby, my mother-in-law has begun doing the pop-in.
The pop-in.
The pop-in. That's what it says here. My husband passively, aggressively hinted that he wished he'd known she was coming over. Her response was, I'm your mother. I don't need to let you know when I'm coming over. I regard this as total disrespect, she says. She's done this plenty of times, including popping in when I was having dinner with my parents and children, which made her mad because she and my father-in-law hadn't been invited. She did the pop-in.
I love it. It's really Seinfeld. He did the pop-in. He came over, he did the pop-in.
She did the pop-in again last week. My husband, four children, are about to sit down and have a family dinner. And she rang the doorbell. I didn't have enough food for her and my father-in-law, which made us all uncomfortable. Of course you do. There's always a way you can share the food. Anyway, she made a sarcastic comment. Gee, I guess I shouldn't have come over. Then she sat in the living room staring at us while we ate. I've begged my husband to say something, but he says it would be disrespectful. I said it's disrespectful that she comes over without checking with us first. What is your take on this? And then she finishes with, no pop-ins, please. No pop-ins, please. That's
Mary.
What she finished with. Now, do you know what? The way I see this is, you know, because I'm good at these things. The problem she's put on the page is not the actual problem here. I think the...
No, elaborate on that, Tim, please.
But you've got to, when you're someone like me who gives out advice on a podcast, you have to look beyond the words. You have to look deep into the meaning of these words, and you have to look at what the real problem is.
Now, hopefully you'll do that in episode 3.
Now the real problem, Mark, is that she doesn't like her mother-in-law. That's basically what this is.
I don't think she's saying that.
Mark, please. Please, it's Dear Lovejoy, not Dear Mark. So,
it is now, but when I rewrite that jingle, my friend.
So, right, she clearly doesn't like her mother-in-law. That's why she doesn't like. If you like someone, you don't care whether they just pop in to see you. That is a fact. You like someone, they're a nice person, they knock at your door, they pop in, and you go, quite like that. Generally, family members, you don't mind. She clearly doesn't like her mother-in-law. So what she's got to do is sort out the problem with her mother-in-law. She's either got to say to her mother-in-law, I just don't like you, so just don't pop in. Or you've got to sort it out so you do like her, so you don't mind that she pops in. Generally, people like it when people pop in. The other problem to this, Mark, is people don't pop in anymore. And the reason why people don't pop in anymore is because we've got mobile phones. So everyone has to text, are you in? Can I pop round? That sort of stuff. So it's unusual now for people to be popping
in. It's a much better world.
You don't like when people pop in?
No one likes a pop in. Be honest. Okay, right. You're saying it's whether you like someone. Mm. Now, I've been to your house many times. not for work. So I'm assuming you're kind of like me, I suppose, in a way, in your sort of...
I like you a lot, Mark.
TV Tim Lovejoy way.
I like
where,
you a lot.
You know, you never quite know what TV Tim Lovejoy's thinking. But...
I like you a lot. Get on
right,
with it.
So, but if I turned up, you were getting your kid ready for school and you were just going out, and I just popped in, and you were, what are you doing? Well, I'm trying to get my kid to school.
I'd go, hey, Mark, nice to see you. Thank you. You make me feel like I matter.
You're being so over-reasonable for this podcast, for the sake of the podcast.
No,
yes,
no.
You are. Okay,
no.
Right. Okay, so
you knock on my door.
So
and
you
then
just sat down for dinner with your kids, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and we'll take the example from this lady here. You just sat down for dinner, and I turn up with a Londis bag of beers. I go, oh, hey, have a drink. Oh, I love joy.
I say, I'm with my kids. I'm not drinking tonight, Mark.
Well, but you wouldn't mind if I sat there?
Yeah, come and have some dinner.
You really wouldn't. You would have put out specific amounts of food.
Well, I'd just say, look, come on, let's all share it around. I'm not a bad person.
Oh, you are.
But, no, I would. I'd say to you, I'm really sorry, Mark.
TV fakery.
I would say to you, look, Mark, I'm sorry. I don't have enough dinner for you. You can come and sit and have a chat with me and the kids. You know, we've gone out with my kids for dinner. You've come around here and had dinner with me.
Pre-arranged.
Pre-arranged. It was one time I picked you up from my friend's house. We drive home and we ended up and I took you to the stop pot for something to eat.
It was very nice and thank you for it.
Yeah.
But that was in the car. Shall we get soon? Do you fancy coming? It was an invitation. I was already there, but it was an invitation.
Yeah, I suppose so. I wouldn't. No, I think...
You've not let that go that you pay for that dinner.
You owe me.
You owe me ham, egg and chips.
Is that what you had?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's nice, isn't it? Look, anyway, let's get back to this.
I was really surprised, by the way, how many carbs you eat.
Why?
How many... Your family are quite carby.
Are they?
Yeah, you had, like, shepherd's pie and chips.
We're an active family. We're active. Did we?
Yeah.
I don't remember what I ate. Different things every day. Now, listen... So let's get back to this problem. I think the problem, the real problem is here. And if Abby's clever, if she's good at giving advice, she'll actually see the problem. She doesn't like her mother-in-law. No one cares if anyone pops in. I know you do, Mark, but the rest of the world, if you like someone and you like them a lot, you know, you're never going to turn your mum away, are you? You like your mum.
No. Well, I quite like the way she's addressed this. She's written, "Dear No Poppins," which is nice. It's sort of like an
Mary
anti,
Poppins.
Yes, like an anti Mary Poppins.
Yeah.
You have my sympathy. Your mother-in-law is a handful. Your husband may be so cowed by his mother that he's afraid to assert himself. You are under no obligation to entertain anyone who pops in, including her. The next time she shows up unannounced, remind her to call first and suggest she come back some other time. Get in there, Abby. You are right. Well done.
Abby's
Tim
missed.
Is wrong. That is one all to the agony aunts. I would say end of item.
Abby misses the point totally. She says you're under no obligation to entertain anyone who pops in. I agree with that. Abby's right there. You're under no obligation at all to do that. But the next time she shows up unannounced, remind her to call first. No, if you like someone, they can call up. They can come unannounced if you like them. If you don't like them, that's where the problem is. End of 2-0 to Lovejoy. Let's
absolutely
move.
Not. 2-0. We need a TV ref on this one.
Let us know what you think about this problem. Let us know. You can do it on the email address or you can tweet. And let's move on. 2-0 to the Lovejoy.
Dear Lovejoy.
This comes from Patrick Brushenan. How do you stop the pangs of jealousy, Tim? Well, I answered that. I understand why you're jealous. If it's low self-worth, you need to work on. If it's the partner's behaviour, talk to them. So jealousy comes in many forms. And I think it is all to do with self-worth at the end of the day. If you're the perfect person, you have extreme self-worth. The best way of being is walking through the planet, walking through your life, walking through the universe, walking through your world, Mark. With anything that happens to you, you do not care about it because you believe in yourself so much. Sadly, none of us can do that apart from maybe some Buddhists. As the Buddhists say, if you have great self-worth, your life's easy. That's why.
It's catchy.
That's one of their famous proverbs. But as you wander through life, if you've got that, and that is the ultimate. But we all look at things like work. You look at your work colleague and you think, oh, why have they got the promotion? Why have they got the gig? You know, I've got to be honest with you. In TV terms, I look at other presenters. They get gigs and I go, oh, I wish I'd had that gig. And then in relationships, that's where the real jealousy comes. Friendships, actually. so much jealousy in friendships, isn't there? When you see your friend doing better than you, buys a bigger house, gets a better car. You know, I'd like to think that you would always wish that your friend did well.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. No, I have a slightly different take on this, which I'm going to tell you, but I disagree with that last bit. But go on.
On friendship?
On the whole, sort of, last minute.
On the whole, you disagree with... Oh, all right, let me just get back onto the relationship. So when you get onto relationships, you've got this problem. If you're lacking self-worth, you're looking... You can obviously become jealous a lot. That means you have to work on your own self-worth. If it's your partner making you jealous, it means they're lacking their self-worth, so they're spending a lot of time trying to make you jealous. If they're trying to make you jealous... And it's not stopping. You've either got to try and help them with their self-worth so they stop doing it, or you've got to find another relationship. Depends how complicated it's all getting. That is basically how you deal with jealousy. Are you a jealous person, Mark?
I don't think I am, no. I expect I've felt it at times. I can't remember the last time I was. But I actually disagree with you on that a bit in the way that I think the complete opposite. I don't get jealous that often because... don't have a sense of entitlement or any self-worth, so I don't expect those things that other when I see someone else get it, I go, yeah, well, they're better than me, they'll get that. That's the natural order of the world. I've worked with people who have a massive sense of self-worth and know people, and they still also get very jealous because they are expecting the best. So when other people get it, they don't understand why they haven't got it. I don't have that. I know what my life's like. Just today, to get here, I got a puncture and walked in the rain. I expected that to happen because that's what my life is like. I'm not jealous of the person going past in the car. I just think, well, that's what they're doing because they're better than me. But I know people who have a massive sense of self-entitlement, a sense of self-worth, and they still get really jealous because they're expecting all the good stuff to happen to them. And when it doesn't, they don't understand why it's not them.
Yeah, no, you're right. I hadn't thought about it like that. You're right. A lot of people who have, but aren't those people with, they've got huge egos, haven't they?
Yeah, that's self-worth to another level, isn't it?
So how do we deal with jealousy? The big thing with jealousy is you've got to look at yourself and you've got to not compare yourself to other people, basically. You've got to be happy with your lot. A wise man once said to me, I think he might have been a Buddhist monk. He said, Don't judge your earnings. No, he didn't. I'm going to tell you what he said. He said, never compare your wages to another. Work out what the job is worth and don't worry about what the others are earning. If you're earning less than the person who's doing the same job as you, your value for money and the pressure's off. It was really catchy.
That's sort of four or five sides of A4, isn't it? I mean, that's astonishing. You can't just quickly etch that into stone, can you? Or put that on a bench somewhere.
Some of these Buddhist monks were quite wordy. But
they're not as erudite as I remember them being in all the things I've read. Maybe it's just your sort of, you've got a weird Buddhist filter.
I think that might have been, I think that was the Dalai Lama who said that one. But basically that's the deal. Work out what's right for your life and don't work out what's right for everybody else's. Stop comparing your life to everybody else's. I think that's the important thing. The complication comes is when you're in a relationship with someone. Then look, to answer this
question. Totally different type of jealousy, that, isn't it?
Let's pretend Patrick is a relationship problem. Patrick, you've either got to look at your self-worth or you've got to look at what she's doing or he's doing, what he's doing to you or she's doing to you, and then you've got to work out what you're going to do from there. But you've got to work on your self-worth. That's where jealousy comes from. Generally unhealthy relationships revolve around jealousy, I think. So
yeah. I've seen that.
Dear Lovejoy.
Now it's time for Pearls of Wisdom. These are like life hacks.
Shall I put a jingle in here?
Yeah, you should put a jingle in here now.
TV Tim in the house. Life hacks, life hacks. Pearls of Wisdom. Don't let life mug you off, mug.
These are like life hacks. They're things you didn't get taught at school, which you should have. These are beautiful bits of information, wisdom for the discerning listener. We'd like you to send your hacks in as well, your life hacks. But these are just some of ours. Let's start with this one. When putting a drunk person to bed, lay them on their side so they don't choke and die. That's something no one ever...
I'll be honest, I wasn't expecting that.
That's something no one ever teaches you, but don't lay drunk people on their back, because if they vomit, because they're pretty much comatose. They might choke and die.
TV Tim in the house.
If you want to go into a gig and you don't have a ticket,
these aren't related.
No, right. they're just beautiful pearls of wisdom. If you want to get into a gig and you don't have a ticket and you can't afford a ticket and it's sold out, just get some cable, put it on your shoulder, go way before the doors open, find the entrance that all the roadies go in, put the cable on your arms, and dress like you're a roadie. Make sure you're wearing black or a band t-shirt, have a mag light on you, which is a torch or something like that. Look like you're meant to be in the venue. People will just let you walk in, go and hide in the toilets, wait for the gig start, come out. Bob's your uncle, you've got in the gig for free. Great piece of advice. Good?
That's not bad. No, that's great. That's great. How heavy duty are we talking cable wise? I mean, are we talking sort
make
of,
it? You know? Yeah, you can't. Yeah, you've got. It can't just be it can't just be a charger for an iPhone or something.
I don't know. Like. That's quite important. Say what? One of the
or
band...
a laptop. No. It's got to look like you're important. It looks like you're going to put some sound in or some lighting.
TV team in the house.
Final one from me. How to be the daddy in your restaurant. This is great. This my friend Mike taught me this not so long ago. It's the rule of three in the restaurant. If you want to be a dad, right? So you're talking about a restaurant here that you want to be well known in. That's what you're talking about. So you get looked after. It's the rule of three. It seems pretty obvious, but no one does it. First time you go into a restaurant and you like the restaurant, you sit down, you have your meal. At the end of the meal, you say, can I speak to the manager? When you speak to the manager, introduce yourself, find out his, her name. And then what you do is you say, you compliment them. You say, fantastic restaurant, fantastic staff. Love what you're doing.
Love what you've done the place. Nice decor.
Just great. Love it what you're doing here. What nights do you work? Next time you go in, you go back. The first thing you do is you sit down at the beginning of the meal and say, hey, is the manager in? Manager in, said, do you remember me? My name's Tim. You
don't have to use the name Tim if you're not called Tim.
No, you only use the name Tim if you're called Tim. And then what you do is you speak to the manager, you introduce yourself again, you introduce his name, you remember his name, sorry. And then on the third time you do it, you'll find everything changes. You then become a regular customer. You remember his name. When you walk in there, you speak to him, you introduce yourself again, introduce your guests at the table and everything. Now you're buddies. And it works every time. Everywhere I go with my friend Mike, everybody knows him. And the way you get, it's unbelievable the treatment he gets. You can get tables when there's no tables. You can get preferential tables. You can get bookings. You can hire the whole restaurant. You can do anything you like once you've befriended that guy. Because we're all human at the end of the day and we like to be appreciated. That is how to be the daddy in your local restaurant.
TV team in the house.
Mark, have you got a pearl of wisdom for us? A life hack?
I have got one actually. And I did it this week and I've got proof on my phone. I showed you before the show. This is quite good. What you do, you're always having to give your address out, aren't you, when you're getting stuff delivered, you're getting stuff from online sites and whatnot, and you start to realise that you start getting, the more you get delivered, the more spam mail you get, and you think, who is giving this out? Who's giving out this information? Where's this come? Who's giving it on this, putting it on this database? So what I do, every time I get something delivered, I give my address a little flourish, a slight little wisp of something different, maybe...
A slight. It's funny you should say slight.
Maybe a house name.
That's what I thought you would go for.
Or maybe change the name of your county and put an E on the end, or your town put an E on the end. But remember, because you've got it, remember where it was. So the next time you get that bit of spam mail, you go, that was so and so.
Okay. And so I thought, well, that might work, might not. And then Mark brought the example. What is the example you've got?
I've got my first line of the address. And then the next line says, look at the line below. And the line below says, stop looking at me. And then it's just got my postcode.
Genuinely, he's got mail sent like that. We will tweet that out because
it works. No, we won't, because it's got my address on it.
Oh, can we not blank out those bits and just show that? We can try and blank it out and show. But I promise you, he's got mail with that.
It took 3 days to get there.
So it's funny. You've got to do that. Do as many examples of those as possible and then send them in so we can have a look at, see what you're doing. If you've got a life hack, something we need to share with the nation, things they don't teach you at school, ways of going through your life, here is the email address.
If what you want to ask is just too long for Twitter, don't stress. We've got an easy to remember email address. This is the reason for this overly long song. It's dearlovejoypodcast@gmail.com.
If you were listening to the first podcast, you would know that Mark is got a phobia about mice. It's called mousophobia,
I believe.
I looked
Tim,
it up because I did a bit of research on it, because we said in the first one it'd be really handy if Mark could try and overcome his phobia on this podcast over the coming months. We're going to go weekly, by the way, on this podcast, every week, hopefully, from now on. So we'd like Mark to try and overcome. You're willing to try and do this, aren't you?
Yes.
Come on.
I really don't want to.
Why are you scared? Let's start at the beginning. Why are you scared of mice again?
I don't know, Tim. As I pointed out, it's an irrational fear. There's no rationality. I don't know. It's irrational.
Okay. What is it you don't like about them?
I don't know, Tim. It's an irrational fear.
Yeah, but is there like most people who don't like mice say things like, I don't like their tails and things
no,
like
it's
that?
No, it's just genuinely the moment I see one or think about them or anything to do with them, I get like sweaty palms and, you know, slightly anxious. And I've had a couple of places with mice and they're just really icky. I really don't like them.
So the thing you told me last week was that you even go through tins of beans, which is ludicrous.
Well, if I open a tin of beans, I always put a spoon in and do a stir around.
Just in case there's a mouse.
Why would there be
a mouse in beans? Do they like baked beans?
There's always... Look it up.
Look
up mouse in baked beans.
Okay, hold on. Mouse in baked beans. Okay, I'm looking that up as we speak. There are. There's lots of pictures here. Oh, that's not nice, is it?
No, imagine
it's
that.
It's got a mouse with tomato ketchup all over it.
Imagine that. Imagine
yeah, but that's,
cracking open, popping
yeah, but
that
you know what
pan.
That is. That's a load of students sitting around and they've gone, oh, we haven't got any cash for dinner now. Let's buy some mice from the pet shop. You can get frozen mice from the pet shop. Stick it in a can of baked beans. Write to Heinz. Say we found a mouse in your beans, and then Heinz will send us a year's supply of baked beans, and then we're sorted for college or university for that year. I mean, if
that's very cynical.
Yeah, but if students aren't doing that, why aren't you doing that? That's a really good con. That's basically what's happening. How on earth is a mouse going to get in baked beans?
Perhaps we should put that in next week's life hack.
Yeah, how are these mice getting in the baked beans, mate?
I don't know, in the factory.
Okay. So when I was digging around, I found that in a popular magazine, there was an answer. And I just liked it because it's one paragraph, but I thought it just sums up the way of doing it. As I understand, you can get rid of all these phobias if you want to. So this is a quote from the magazine, the expert in it. Depending on how afraid he is, so let's change that with Mark. Depending on how afraid Mark is, he'll download some pictures of mice, which I've actually done for you.
Oh,
Mark,
no, come on.
And post those around the house.
Come on.
I've done those for you. Let me get on to the rest of it and then we'll come back to that. Then what we'll do after that, he'll progress to finding a pet store that sells mice. There's actually two rounds here we can go to. And you'll be able to stand next to them in a cage. Do you think you could do that?
No.
Really?
No.
I'm really shocked by this. I don't hate you for it. I sort of...
I don't expect you to hate me for it.
I love you for it. So you stand next to them in the cage, all the way to dealing with having a mouse eventually in your hand and then running up your arm. Could you do that?
No, not at the moment. No, obviously not. I mean, that's just a...
And then eventually we'll get you a pet one and you can look after it.
And Myrtle can eat it.
Myrtle's his cat, by the way. We discussed Myrtle a lot on the last podcast, but sadly, Mark forgot to press the record button. So I printed out some... pictures of mice for you. And so if you look at these and we'll see if you can do that. I've started off quite basic for you.
Oh, see, I don't mind that. It's got shorts on. He's got me a picture of Mickey Mouse. That's nice.
So
I like that.
Are you all right with Mickey Mouse?
I am.
So I was thinking, if you don't like mice, it'd be quite hard to go to Disneyland or Disney World, wouldn't it? Or Disney Paris.
Yeah.
Because there's a big mouse walking around everywhere with
shoes
on.
That's fine.
That's going, Pluto,
that,
Pluto,
doesn't do,
Pluto.
That doesn't do tiny little turds underneath my cooker.
So you're right with that. Okay.
Oh, no, that's the one.
Here's a man holding up a mouse. I think...
No, stop
it's
it.
Quite strange because Mark has actually just gone all the way. Yeah, he's starting to perspire. He's leaned away and he's got his arm up in front of his head. And I'll put this picture that I've took on Twitter for you so you can see because it's just a little cute mouse. And this one looks like, if you use your imagination here, because this one, I got this one out because I was trying to find something quirky for you. This one looks like it was driving a car or something like a toy car, and it's cropped though. So, but let me show it to you.
Oh, no,
cute.
No, no, that's too close. It's a close up. That's a close up. Get off. Stop it.
Are you making this up?
No, I'm.
Would you take those pictures home and just have them around your...
Mickey Mouse, I would, yeah.
So you won't do that?
No, I don't think I want to, not yet.
Why don't you want to get rid of the mouse phobia?
I do, but I can't...
Moussophobia.
Okay, if it will stop you talking, I'll take those pictures home.
Okay. All right, well, listen, we're going to try and do that, yeah, okay, over the course of the podcast. Yes. Like, well, tomorrow, I'll leave it, and next week what we'll do is we'll do the podcast with the pictures of the mice.
I feel very much like you're using me for content here.
Yeah, but it's good. This is an advice podcast, Mark. Okay, we need to do this.
Dear Lovejoy.
Listen, thanks a lot for joining us. You might never hear this because Mark might have forgotten to press the record button. But if he did press the record button, I hope you enjoyed this podcast. I hope it gets to maybe 5 out of 7 or maybe 5 out of 8 even, something around that. I hope you enjoy it. We'd like you to join him. If you've got any problems, especially in-depth problems, send them to the email address. If you want to help us with any of our advice we've given, if you don't think we've given good advice, or you think you can give better advice, or you agree with it, or you just want to comment on the podcast, this is the email address.
If what you want to ask is just too long for Twitter, don't stress. We've got an easy to remember email address. This is the reason for this overly long song. It's dearlovejoypodcast@gmail.com.
Classic jingle.
That is a classic jingle. You are right, Mark. You can also tweet me @TimLovejoy. We'll see you all next week. Enjoy your week. Bye.
Bye. Oh, nuts. That wasn't recording.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.